Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, that is commandment number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. How does this verse give us the title False Christ versus Antichrist? Antichrist was a term used commonly by the Apostle John in his epistles. He warned us of the capital A great Antichrist that will appear in the last day. And then he says that there are many Antichrists who are already in the world. That epistle of John 1, or 1 John, was written around 92 AD, about 60 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And so this Antichrist basically literally means against Christ. And since Christ is already ascended to heaven and seated at God's right hand, we know that it is not a reference to people attacking the body of Christ when Christ walked on earth. This Antichrist are people who are against Christ. How can a person be against Christ when Christ is seated at God's right hand? These are people who attack the word of Christ. And the word of Christ is the whole Bible. An Antichrist is a person who attacks the Bible. They attack the doctrines of the Bible. That is an Antichrist. They can be people who call themselves Christians. They can be non-Christians. As long as they attack the Bible, that would be an Antichrist. For example, they say the Bible has no miracles. It is just a book of man. That's an Antichrist. They say that Jesus Christ was not born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. There is no creation. There is evolution. Any doctrines of the Bible that come under attack is an Antichrist. The people who say the Bible is filled with mistakes, but the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God is perfect, but they say, no, there are mistakes. That's an Antichrist. And where are they found? They are found primarily in seminaries and Bible colleges and the leadership in many churches. Whenever the word of God comes under attack, it diminishes our view of who God is. And therefore, when you attack the word of God, you attack the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is his word. He is perfect, and therefore his word is perfect. That's an Antichrist. But what about false Christ? False Christ are people who call themselves Christians. And they are generally from the congregation. Of course, everyone who calls themselves Christians is a false Christ. If he does not live a life of holiness, if the life that he lives that projects the life of the Christ, because he called himself a Christian. And so when the life that he lives is not according to the Bible, he is basically presenting to the people around him a Christ that is unbiblical. And therefore you are presenting a false Christ to the people around you. For example, if you call yourself a Christian and you are lazy, you are slothful, you cut corners, you even cheat, whether it's in exam or whether it is at work or whether you tell lies at home, wherever you are, you know this is not what Christ did. Christ is perfect. He walked on the earth. He was perfect. He is now seated at God's right hand. He is perfect. He is not a lazy Christ. He is not a liar. He is not a cheat. But when we become such, people will look at us, oh, you call yourself a Christian? You are a liar? That means Christ is a liar. You are lazy? Christ is lazy. You are carnal. You care only for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You mean Christ is also like that? That's a false Christ. That person is presenting a Christ that is not according to the Bible. And that's a false Christ. And that's what this verse tells us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Bible has always want us to call ourselves Christians. The Bible wants Israel to be called the people of God. That's why God changed the name Jacob to Israel, Prince of God. Jacob means usurper. Always want to be number one. Always want to take advantage of other people. That was the old Jacob. And then when he became a believer, God gave him a new name, Israel. And from that point onwards, when God blessed his sons and turned them into a nation, they were named after their founding father, Israel, Prince of God. And so God was very, very delighted to look for himself a people on earth whom he had designed, given them how to live, how to dress, how to eat, how to spend their day, how to worship, everything, so that everything in Israel, ordained by God, their culture, ordained by God, their way of spending the week, ordained by God, everything about them ordained by God, because God wanted Israel to reflect the true image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way they dress, by the way they eat their food, by the way they work in their farms, by the way that they are shepherds, what are the kind of animals they can have, what are the kind of clean food, the unclean food, how they can marry and not marry, how they look after their slaves, everything ordained by God, including the place of worship, designed by God, who can be priest, all ordained by God, so that everything about Israel will reflect who Jesus Christ is. So that they will not become false witnesses presenting false Christ. That's what it means. Do you know why? Because there is only one name under heaven and on this earth that can save a sinner out of sin, death, and hell. And that is the name Jesus Christ. That is a very powerful name. This was what Peter said to the Sanhedrin council members, warning them, don't talk about Christ anymore. Keep quiet. We have killed him, and we do not want people to talk about him anymore. But Peter said, should we obey God or man? There is only one name under heaven and on earth that can save a sinner out of hell and death. And that is the name Jesus Christ. How can we keep quiet? We cannot keep quiet. We must speak. They were abused. They were thrown into prison. They were beaten. But they will not stop speaking and tell the world about Christ. More so by their lives of holiness. And it must be accompanied by the right word of God. They must be in congruence. You cannot preach the gospel that is Bible-based and then live a life that is sinful. You will do a great disservice because people will listen to your Bible gospel that is according to the scriptures. But when they look at the life that you live, you will cause them to reject the gospel because you mean if I accept this Christ that you share with me from the Bible, which is biblical, you mean I'm going to become like you? A liar, a cheat, a thief, carnal? I don't want it. And so they have just rejected the true gospel because what they have seen in your life, it is not the Christ of the Bible who is a wonderful Savior. You must give the right gospel according to scriptures, and it must be backed up by a life that this gospel has transform you to become the image of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're going to become a false Christ. That is why there are more false Christs than antichrists. Because I'm sure you sit in the pew, you don't attack the Bible, you don't attack the miracles of Christ, you believe in all these things. The problem is your life, my life. That is the problem. And that's exactly what this verse 11 in Deuteronomy teaches us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The second commandment was, thou shalt not make. Don't make any graven image and you bow down to it. It could be your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your job, whatever it is. They must never become your God, whereby for their sakes, you are prepared to disobey the word of God. Because if you do that, then you will also be breaking commandment number 3. These commandments are all linked together. That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament, you break one, you have broken all 10. You keep one, you must keep all 10. You cannot afford to break one. You break one, God says you have broken all 10. They are all interlinked, interrelated. Because if you have other gods more important to you in your life than the one living and true God, because you are prepared to disobey the word of God in order to make them happy, you are prepared to make God angry with you and make them happy with you because you want to please them and refuse to please God. That person, that thing, whatever it is that resulted in you disobeying the word of God is an idol. It is now your God. And all the hymns that you praise Him with will be null and void. As far as God is concerned, you are just paying me lip service and God is not interested in lip service. And so He says, thou shalt not take now. Second commandment, thou shalt not make. This time, thou shalt not take. The word take means pick it up. You don't have to call yourself a Christian. God did not force you. But if you ever do, and please, if you ever do, don't betray Him. Don't misrepresent Him. He wants us to. If you are truly born again in Christ, you cannot not do it. That's why He gave us the sacrament of water baptism. The sacrament of water baptism basically teaches us that from now onwards, you are telling your world, your friends and family members, before God in this congregation, that now Jesus Christ is my Lord and is my Savior, and I have accepted Him into my heart, for He died on the cross for my sin. He rose from the dead for my justification. And now He is seated at God's right hand, interceding for me. From now onwards, my family members and my friends, I want you to know that you're going to see Christ in my life. You're going to hear the words that come out of my mouth. They are called Bible words. It's going to be Bible-based. It's going to be truthful. I'm not perfect, but I desire to be holy. If I make a mistake, I will repent. Holiness will now characterize my life. That's what it means when you seek water baptism. You are telling the world that you belong to Christ and Christ is your Lord and your Master, and you are prepared to do anything that He tells you to do, even if at times when I obey Him, I might disobey you and make you angry with me. But for Jesus' sake, I will have to obey Christ at all costs, no matter what happens. Because I do not want to take up His name and attach it to my name and then turn it into something that is empty. Vanity. What does it mean to turn the name of God into vanity? The name of the Lord our God, the name of Christ, and turn it into vanity. How do we do that? See, Jesus, the person, is seated at God's right hand. We can't touch His body. His body will always be holy and perfect. But because He gave us the honor and privilege to take His name on us, we can dirty His name. We can turn His name into zero, into bankruptcy. That means we turn His name that can save a sinner out of death and hell into a name that cannot save a person out of death and hell. That's what it means by taking the name of the Lord and turn it into vanity, so that He cannot save anymore. Because the Christ that you project, it's not the Christ of the Bible. And if you do not give them the Christ of the Bible, the person cannot be saved. Like what we talked about last week. The bottle is poisonous. The person may think that it is good, sweet, clean water. He drinks it, he still dies. You present the wrong Christ. The person believes in the wrong Christ. The person will not be saved. And we present the wrong Christ. And the person rejects Christ, thinking that he has rejected the true Christ. And next time when somebody gives him the gospel, the person says, I'm not interested. I've heard your Christ before because of what I have seen in the previous Christian that I have met in my life. They are nothing but liars and hypocrites. They are lazy, they are carnal, and they cheat. And now you have in front of them a truly born-again believer who is holy and righteous. And before he could even share the gospel is already rejected because they have already tasted the bitterness of what you and I have presented in the past in his life. And because of that taste in his life, that will no longer be replaced because it leaves a very bitter memory. That the moment he hears the word Christian, oh, those awful memories will surface in his mind. And it's all because of us. We have broken commandment number 3. We have taken up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, And then we have turned it into someone just like your name and my name cannot save anymore. That's what it means. That's how dangerous it is for someone to call himself a Christian and does not live the life of a Christian. It is better not to call ourselves Christians if we are not prepared to live the life of a Christian, truly. When a person in the world sin, he doesn't tarnish the name of Christ. He's not a false Christ because I never call myself a Christian. Let's say he commits adultery. He never called himself a Christian. So when he commits adultery, you're upset and angry with him because he has broken up his family because he has another woman in his life. But the name of Christ is not shamed. It's not tarnished by him. He's just an adulterer. But when a person who called himself a Christian and then you commit adultery, you are not just an adulterer, you have also become a false Christ because the Christ that you have now presented is an adulterer. That's a false Christ. This commandment, very often people think and use it when some unbeliever use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word. That kind of myopic understanding will cause all of us to think that it's an easy commandment to keep. Because you will never use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word. Please understand the Ten Commandments are given to the nation of Israel. It's not for the Philistines or for the Edomites. And so, these Ten Commandments are given to the church, to people who call themselves Christians. The Ten Commandments will now be the guide, the yardstick to measure your life of holiness. Because the Lord tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. How to be holy? Check your life against the Ten Commandments. One by one, one commandment at a time. Because all children of God can obey all the Ten Commandments. Our struggle is we cannot obey it perfectly. And so therefore, commandment number three is a commandment that all children of God would love to obey. Because if you're truly born again, I'm sure in your heart of hearts, you will never want to misrepresent Christ. You will never want to let people look at Christ, look at you, and then think that Christ is a liar, is an unforgiving person. Christ is never like that. Christ is a wonderful Savior, a holy Savior, a good Savior. And He will always do what is good and what will always bring glory to God, His Heavenly Father. And so must we. That's why the Bible tells us you shall not, very strong commandment, you shall not take up the name of the Lord your God and turn it into vanity. Please don't do that. Because if you truly love the people around you, your children, your mom, your dad who are not Christians, your friends, your colleagues, please understand how important you are in their lives. Please understand how important Christ can be in their lives. And more so if you are the only believer, that makes it even more critical to them. You see, before you enter into their lives, whether at home or at work or in school, if there are no believers that are truly born again believers, please understand that all of them are born in sin. And they will die in sin and end up in hell. And they can't even see the kingdom of heaven because there are no Christians in their lives. But the moment you enter into their lives, you enter into their class, you enter into this company, you are the first in your home to become a Christian. Do you know that the moment you arrive home, you arrive into your company or your school, you are a walking, living testimony of a child of God, of what heaven is like, of who are the people who will belong and live in heaven? You. Your life of holiness in Christ. That's how important you are. And you hold in your heart, in your hands, the key to the kingdom of heaven, the entrance to go in. And that key is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. That's how important you are. And you must look at yourself from that angle. And don't look at yourself from the perspective of the world. Stop looking at yourself based upon your abilities, what you have, so-called gain, in your education, and whatever titles the world gives to you. Don't let all these so-called human accolades and titles to take away your original and one and only important title, Christian. You must first and foremost always be Christian. Christian teacher, Christian engineer, Christian bus driver, Christian taxi driver, Christian whatever, so that you will never forget your original purpose for God leaving you behind after your salvation. So that you will not ever forget that before your arrival, the kingdom of heaven is very far from these people in your life. But now that you have arrived as a child of God, you have just brought all of them into the entrance of the kingdom of heaven by your holy life. By not taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still able to save. But it depends on you presenting to them the Christ of the Bible. The Christ that is taught in the scriptures, the Holy Savior, the Son of God, who He is. You have to show it to them by the way that you live, by the decisions you make in circumstances of your life, at home, at work, in school, wherever you are. And then you share the gospel with them to tell them, this is how I became who I am, in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness. Because of this gospel that I believed in, you too can believe in this gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ can transform you and turn you into a saint, a child of God, whereby you too can live in holiness and become a citizen of heaven. That's what you are to do by not taking up the name of Christ and put it onto you and not turn it into something that is empty, but something that is powerful. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord that is still able to save. Because Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I remain the light of the world that can take away their blindness. And how is He to remain on earth seated at God's right hand? Through your life and through my life. That's how you continue to remain on the earth. That's how wonderful your life is. That's the abundant life that Jesus Christ speaks of. Because your life in Christ can turn a sinner into a saint, can take a person out of the condemnation of hell into the wonderful, wonderful, blissful, eternal heaven in glory. Your life. But it has to be in holiness. It must be lived according to the Bible. Please do so. Please do so. Because the Lord says that I have given you the honor and privilege to call yourself Christian and let the world know the love of God in Christ that is still able to save them from sin, from death, and from hell. Because if they die in sin, you know they will end up in hell. You have experienced the deliverance from this terrible, awful darkness in your own soul, in your own life. Have you not? And to know that in your heart of hearts, that even if you breathe your last breath, Lord, right now, you are absent from the body, present with your Savior. Because you've been living a life of holiness. You've been reading the Word of God every morning with joy, with gladness. And whenever you open the Bible and you read it, the Word of God is your Heavenly Father's voice speaking to your heart. And you love it. You long more and more of it. And before you go to sleep, you open the scriptures again, and then you read the word of God one more time before you go to sleep as you reflect upon the whole day. How the Lord has been so good to you. How the Lord has always been there to answer your cry and your prayers. That you are never, never walking alone. That the cross that the Lord has given you to carry, the Lord was there to help you, to carry it with you, so that you do not and will not be crushed by the load of your witness for Christ, even in the face of the most adverse challenge in life. That's the abundant life. That is the kind of life that the world needs. They do not know it. You know it. Your loved ones around you do not know how much they need the Savior. You do. And they depend upon you. And the Lord depends upon you to be a holy witness. And that's why this, the commandment, is such a wonderful, wonderful assurance. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't do it. Please. The world is dying in sin. The God of this world will continue to attack and bombard and deceive the world more and more. That's why at the Sunset Gospel Hour, we want to focus on our enemies, the enemies of the Christian, because once you know your enemies, then you know how to react and respond and protect yourself and your loved ones who need you. Especially parents, your children need you more now than ever before. They do not know what is dangerous in the world. They need you to be holy. So that when they look at mom and dad, they're going to find in you an example that they want to follow. Because otherwise, they're going to follow someone out there in the world. Remember, every child is born with a blank mind. But with a sinful nature, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are in them. And so their mind is without knowledge. No light. They need to be filled with the light. And that's why we have children's ministry, where the teachers have to sign a document promising that they will be holy in their testimony. You know, all those who teach God's word in this church, they are not permitted to drink. Total abstinence must be their promise before God. Because we know the danger of drinking. And you entrust your children to us to teach them the word of God. And we know that teachers who teach sin, the teachers who sin will teach sin. And if they teach the word of God, their lives have to be exemplary. And we have seen enough of the pitfalls of people who drink, and therefore all teachers cannot drink. If you want to sin and drink, don't teach. Don't teach. We don't want you to teach. No matter how good you are, no matter how gifted you are excused. Because your life is more important than what comes out of your mouth. Because parents entrust the little ones to you, to be an example to them so that they will see Christ in teachers, just as I hope every parent will want the children to see Christ in them at home. Don't send conflicting messages. The teachers teach them one thing, and then at home, mom and dad will do something else. The children will get confused, and the children will listen to mom and dad more than teachers because of their influence that you have over your children. Of all the human beings on earth, parents have the greatest influence unless you throw it away. Because when children are teenagers and above, if you are not an example for them to emulate, they are going to throw you away and replace you with somebody else. And that somebody else is not going to be someone you like, whereby they are going to listen to them more than they listen to you, because it's already too late for you. You should have brought them up properly so that they will want mom and dad to be my example. And so if you are a good example, they will be tremendously blessed because they will see Christ in mom and dad. Because mom and dad, they have not taken the name of the Lord and turned it into vanity, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still able to save them. But if you have not, you can rest assured that when they grow up, they're going to replace you by some other idol. Some idol from their favorite sports, or from some computer game, or from some singing group, or whatever it is. And you know the idol out there, they are blinded, they are controlled by the god of this world, the devil. And what do you think will happen? Your child's conduct and behavior, your child's dressing, everything will change. It is going to be like the world, like the devil himself. And all you can do is to have a broken heart. And when you look back, I'm sure you're going to be filled with a lot of regrets. If only, yes, that's going to be on our tombstone, if only. If only I've spent more time with my son, my daughter, and less time in making money. If only I pray with them more. If only I've encouraged them to attend fellowship groups. If only, yes, if only, because you have not been doing it yourself. If only. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Are you a Christian? You have taken up the name of the Lord and attached it to your name now. And so when they look at your life right now, dear friend, if your son or daughter look at your life, if your colleagues look at your life, if anyone were to look at your life, who will they see? Will they see Christ? Will they see a wonderful Savior? Or will they see somebody else? And if somebody else is not the Savior, sadly, we have broken commandment number 3. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain. And then when people look at us, they're going to see a false Christ. You know how sad that is? When our children see the false Christ in mom and dad, and then they grow up hating Christianity. It's not because Christ is bad, but because mom and dad have presented a bad Christ to them. You know, there are some churches where parents end up in divorce and the children grew up in that kind of environment. What do you think will be the mindset of these children when mom and dad end up in divorce? They go to church and then they end up in divorce. You mean this Christ that you talk about in the Bible caused my mom and my dad to end up in divorce, and you want me to accept this Christ? That is going to be their answer to you when you want to share the gospel with them. My mom and dad goes to church faithfully every week and they end up divorced, and you tell me that this Christ is going to save me from sin. It destroys family. I don't want this Christ. But Jesus Christ will never do that. Will never do that. That's why I wrote this in the elders' page. Jesus Christ said, I sent a sword. I didn't send peace, where son will be against father, daughter against mother, and so on and so forth. All the close relationship. Why? Because the peace that we have in our home that is not based upon Christ is false peace. Because by death, all of us will be separated and we will all end up in hell. And all of us will be gnashing in pain. And so while we are still together as a family, that kind of warped thinking is wrong. Why? Because there is an example in the Gospel of Luke, where there was this man, a rich man, who died in sin. And then he ended up in hell. And while he was in hell, he spoke with Father Abraham and asked Abraham, send Lazarus back from the dead, because I have brothers. I don't want them to join me in hell. I don't want them to come to hell and be punished just like me, in great pain and torment. Please send Lazarus back to tell them about the Christ of the Bible, so that they will believe in someone rise from the dead. Because I don't want them to join me in hell. Because of the pain and the torment that he experienced day in and day out, he became an evangelist in hell, too late. And Abraham said to him, they have the word of God, Moses, the law, and the prophets. If they do not believe in the word of God, they will not even believe someone who will rise from the dead and stand in front of them. That's how powerful the word of God is. And the word of God is now in your hands, in your life. That's why don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That's why you have to live a holy life. So that when the word of God you share, and you share it correctly, it is evidenced by this wonderful life that you have. Because the Lord also tells us, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God will not hold you innocent. That means you will definitely be found guilty. Why? Why? Because God said, I sent down my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the safety and the glory of heaven. And then he came down to this earth because of my love for you and his love for you as well. And he walked among sinful men, knowing full well that at the end of his life on earth, he will die by the hands of the people he came down to save. And then the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed all the laws of God by his life of perfection to let them know that look at how I live. Listen to my teaching. He was there to tell them, Emmanuel, God with us, that the Son of God is now walking in the midst of man for one purpose, so that he can take on the form of flesh and blood to destroy the devil and his works in your life. Because of him, you are now a sinner, bound for hell. And God sent Jesus Christ to come down to earth, to live, and then to suffer. The suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure is unimaginable and definitely incomprehensible by any one of us. The perfect Son of God to become the perfect Son of Man, and then to be abused, to be humiliated, all this while had the power to deliver himself. And he just simply kept quiet like a lamb led to the slaughter. Have you ever seen a lamb being killed? I witnessed a lamb being killed. This farmer brought the lamb right in front of us. And the lamb will look into the eyes of the farmer. And the farmer will take the knife, slit the throat. And the lamb will just simply collapse onto the ground, his head still look up, not one sound. And let the blood just simply drain out of his body. His legs will kick a little bit, and then he will lie still. Not one sound through this entire period as he led the lamb right up to the spot where the plank are all there the gaps so that the blood can flow through onto the ground. And that's how the lamb died. Not one sound. And all this while, the Lord could deliver himself because he was perfect. He died for you and for me. They wove a crown of thorns and forced it down his head. And God the Father saw it and he did nothing to deliver his son. They scourged him, tore his back apart. And the Father did nothing as he looked from heaven at the son because of his love for you and for me. Because that's the only way to save us from sin, from death, and from hell. That's why the Lord cried when he was crucified, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was no broken relationship. It is the Father who did not come to the aid of his son. If you see your own son being abused like that, I'm sure you will do your best to try to stop him, right? But the Father had all the power to stop and he did not do it because of his love for you and for me. And then they spat on him. They cover his head and then they punch him. Tell us who punched you. Then they stripped him and crucified him. And he endured all the humiliation and the pain to save you and me from sin, from death and hell. And then God accepted all the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that Christ did in our place by raising him from the dead, so that all who truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior fully identify yourself with Christ. That you have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, you have died. What part of you have died? My sinful nature. So that now you are risen from the dead in Christ, so that the life that you now live is no longer your own to live any way you like. It is now the life that you must live for Christ, because you've been redeemed by him. You must live for him. Now God the Father did all these, sent Christ to go through all these. And then you take his name, and then you misrepresent him, and you expect God to say nothing and do nothing. We're not talking about gold and silver. We're talking about the life of God's only begotten Son and the shame and the pain that he had to endure in order to save us. And then God gave us the honor to call ourselves Christians, to carry his name, and then you misrepresent him and turn his name into something that is bankrupt of salvation because of the misrepresentation, and you expect God to do nothing. God says, I will not hold any person who abuse and turn the name of Christ into nothing, bankrupt his name so that he cannot save anymore. That person will be guilty. Don't take his name in vain. If you are not prepared to live the life of a Christian. You know how hard it is for us sometimes as relatives to our loved ones and friends. When they call themselves Christians, and then they want to marry unbelievers. And then they send us invitation and they expect us to attend as if it is okay. If you don't call yourself a Christian and you want to marry, I have no problem attending because it's between two unbelievers. And then you call yourself a Christian. Doesn't matter whether you are one or not, but the moment you call yourself a Christian, you have taken up the name of the Lord and attached it to yourself. And then you want to marry an unbeliever. And then you invite us, you expect us to attend. You are now asking me to sin against my Lord. Do you know that? That's exactly what you are trying to do. And because of our affection for you, our love for you, our friendship, our relationship, it is even harder. Why do you think the devil used Peter to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave us, don't go to the cross? He didn't pick someone from the streets. He picked someone that the Lord loved. And then use him, and that's why the retort from the Lord was so fierce. Get thee behind me, Satan. Not that the devil had possessed Peter, but he had become a tool of the devil because of his own carnal, selfish desires. He did not want the Lord to obey the Father's will, and he used the Lord's love for him to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to disobey the Father's will. That's why the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. And we have to say the same to our loved ones, who are now asking us, you choose Christ or choose your love for me? Your love for Christ or your love for me? If you love me, attend my wedding and disobey your Lord. I will be pleased with you, but my Lord will be angry with me. Whom should I choose? If I choose to obey the Lord and you are angry with me, and every time when we have family reunion, your black face and this relationship that was once upon a time so fine and good is now no longer the same. No longer the same. Because every time you look at your wedding pictures, we will not be there. And if it's your mom and dad, even worse. If your mom and dad call themselves Christians, and then you are a son or daughter, and you call yourself Christian, and then you marry an unbeliever, you are now forcing your mom and dad to sin. To choose between their love for you and their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? And if they choose to obey Christ and make you unhappy, you think they are very happy? Their hearts are broken. Because they brought you up. And they want to be there when you get married. But because you forced them to choose Christ by your disobedience in marrying an unbeliever, you have taken the name of the Lord in vain, and now you are forcing them to do the same. Do you know that's what is happening? So many times, again and again and again and again. Because we don't seem to learn. Because we think that commandment number 3 is no big deal. It's a very, very big deal to God. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to go through so much suffering to save us. And all He wants from us who call ourselves Christian is, please don't misrepresent Christ and turn His name into something that is bankrupt of salvation, that He cannot save anymore because it is no longer the Christ of the Bible that you present. And the people keep on rejecting Christ, keep on despising Christ, thinking that this is the Christ of the Bible when in reality it is false Christ because of us. And so if you choose Christ, that loved one will be angry with you. But you have to make your choice. You choose them, you have taken the name of the Lord and turned it into vanity. Because now, your son, your daughter, whoever that person is, will now know. Yeah, Christ is very important in your life, but I am more. I am now your God. You've broken commandment number 2 too, right? I am now more important than you because you are prepared to make Christ unhappy in order to make me happy. And therefore, you obey my voice more than the voice of this so-called Christ of yours. You're not helping your son. You're not helping your daughter. You're basically consigning them to hell by your attendance. Do you realize that? Think in terms of eternity. Think in terms of heaven and hell. You really love your child, then don't displease your Savior. Let the Lord Jesus Christ save him. Let your son, your daughter know that this marriage of to an unbeliever is a very serious transgression. Your son, your daughter has just taken the name of the Lord and turned it into vanity. And the Lord will not hold him guiltless. And you've got to let him know that. You have to let him experience the consequences of his sinful action by not attending his wedding, and you cannot offer any blessing or any congratulatory note. You can't, for Jesus' sake. If you are not prepared, don't take up the name of Christ. Don't follow him. The Lord says, you want to follow me? Deny yourself. That means you are no longer your own. Your ambitions, your desires must now always take second place to God's desire in your life. Then you take up the cross. And then you follow. The cross means whatever life that the Lord wants you to live, you live. Wherever He sends you, you go. Then you follow me. If you are not prepared to take step one, step two, don't call yourself a Christian. But if you call yourself a Christian, please, don't be a false Christ. Be a Christian that will let the world know the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very often, our sin starts with our mouth, our words. That's what the Bible says. If you are able to control your mouth, you are able to control your life. And so, how to protect ourselves so that we will not fall into this sin of breaking commandment number 3, of not taking the name of the Lord in vain? Turn with me to Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37, the cure, the antidote, the protection. Matthew 5, 33 to 37, where the Lord Himself instructs us concerning our tongue, making oaths. Because very often, the many sins that we commit begins with our lips, our mouth. And so Jesus says, Matthew 5, 33, again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. Now this was the oral tradition based upon commandment number 3, where the oral tradition taught the people, only when you make an oath in the name of the Lord, you must keep. But if you do not make an oath in the name of the Lord, it's okay when you sometimes break it, when you sometimes don't mean what you say, don't mean what you promise. Now this was practiced and accepted and believed, because they have distorted commandment number 3. And so the Lord had to correct it and fix it in the lives of every truly born-again believer. And so the Lord says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Because what they did was, since I did not swear in the name of the Lord, I replaced the Lord with some other thing. So some of them will say, all right, I swear in the name of heaven. When the Lord said, by swearing in the name of heaven, do you not know heaven is God's throne? You cannot do that also. Indirectly, you are also swearing in the name of the Lord. Well, then I don't use heaven, I use the earth. But the earth is the Lord's footstool. And so you swear in the name of the earth. It is also indirectly swearing in the name of the Lord, and therefore you must keep it. Well, what about Jerusalem? It is the city of God, city of the great king, and therefore indirectly it is still God. And so the Lord is basically correcting all the wrong understanding, where there are different levels of seriousness when we speak. Neither shall thou swear by your own head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. In other words, Jesus says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh from evil. So the antidote in protecting us, in not taking the name of the Lord in vain, is every moment of your life, speak the truth. Don't have different degrees of truth. When I sign on a document with lawyers present, then I will honor. But on my day-to-day conversation, to you, truthful. To this person, nah, it's not so needful, a little shady. The Lord says, you are a child of God. Everything you speak must have the same degree of honesty. Whether you swear or do not swear, you always tell the truth. Because God and Christ, they are always truthful. Anyone who tells a lie, the devil is the father of lies. That's why the Lord says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Anything that is more than that, anything that is shady, anything that you say you do not mean, it's evil. And so the protection in helping us to obey commandment number 3 is, make sure you're born again. That's most important. The Lord says, you want to take up my name? By all means. But don't turn it into something that is bankrupt. And the warning is, I will not hold you guiltless. And the cure, be a truthful person, because Christ is always truthful. God is always truthful. So let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Don't say things you do not mean. If somebody invites you to something, don't say, I pray about it, when you actually mean no. Just simply say no. If you're really going to pray about it because you're not decided and you're really praying for God's will to be done in your life, let that be true. If you say no, just simply say no. If you mean no, just say no. Don't say, I pray about it. And using that phrase, I pray about it, as if what, you're really praying about it when your desire is no. Just say no. It's okay. And let this characterize your life so that your word will be your bond. And that is the beginning that will help us obey commandment number 3. So first and foremost, you call yourself a Christian, be a Christian, truly, sincerely, with all your heart. You call yourself holy, be holy, because that's exactly what a Christian is. This is a commandment that will result in many false Christs. Don't be one. Be truly a Christian. And let people see Christ in your life and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, for the many moments and many times when we have broken commandment number 3 and taken the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. And because of our sinful hearts, our failure to live a life of holiness, we have stumbled so many people, especially our own children as parents. and our loved ones, our parents, our brothers and our sisters. Forgive us. Cleanse us of all our sins, O Lord, and help us to be holy from henceforth, so that we will no longer take the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn it into vanity, not able to save anyone anymore because we have misrepresented him. We pray, Father, for some parents whose children are now teenagers who have strayed away because of mom and dad's past bad testimony. May thou be merciful, O Lord, to intervene in these homes and restore peace by helping their teenage children to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior because they have seen the transformation in the lives of mom and dad. We pray, Lord, that as mom and dad become more and more holy, may thou be merciful to honor them, even as they honor thee now. And help them, O Lord, to see your mercies in their lives so that their children may now see a new mom and a new dad who will no longer take the name of the Lord in vain, but truly be holy and be godly, so that they will now see Christ in the lives of mom and dad once more. And in your mercy, in your grace, may thou save these teenage children from sin, from death, and from hell. O Lord, we pray for thy mercies to be upon these families. We pray, O Lord, for ourselves. Wherever we go, help us to remember how important we are to Christ and to the world that is dying in sin, to our friends, to those who are students, to those who are working, their colleagues, how far the kingdom of heaven was to them before your children's arrival. And now that they are there in their midst, help all your children to be strong in the Lord, to be discerning, to be filled with thy Holy Spirit, so that they will live a life of holiness, so that they will not be false Christs, but they will truly be Christians, presenting the wonderful Savior to their friends and their colleagues, so that by their good works, by their conduct in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, they will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior as well. Sanctify thy people, O Lord, by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Encourage our hearts, and with the remaining time that we have on earth before the Lord soon return, may all your children truly live for the Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.